is that a healthy church seeks to find out what God wants. And I have, to save me making a mess of the clicker, I'll just sort of nod at you. Okay, that seems a much better arrangement. So, a healthy church seeks to find out what God wants. And the assumption behind all of this is that if we don't bother to find out what God wants and simply go ahead and do what we want, the result it will be not to advance God's kingdom and will be a sign that the church is sick rather than healthy. Now, that's easy to say, and so really the subject this morning is a how-to. How do we find out what God wants of us? Seek to find out what God wants. Well, how? It's great saying it, isn't it? It's a lovely topic. Now then, how are we going to do it? Can I suggest that very first, the thing that we do is we've got to seek to find out God. Before we seek to find out what he wants, we need to find God himself. There is a phrase which I've sort of lived with through my Christian life for some years now. It simply says, next one, if we want to know God's will, we need to get to know God well. It is simple, it is straightforward, but if we want to know God's will, we need to get to know God well. Quite simply, if we don't, then we shall do our will rather than God's will. If we know God well, we shall get to know his will. In the passage which Gavin read to us earlier, verse 9 of Luke 11 says, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. One commentator that I read this week says that we ask for what we wish, we seek for what we haven't got, and we knock for that from which we feel ourselves shut out. I don't know if you feel shut out this morning, but certainly you may well feel we seek for what we haven't got. Asking, seeking, knocking. What they really are saying to us is that if we are going to find God, we've really got to mean it. We're not just going through a form of words, we've really got to mean it. Jeremiah, the prophet, puts it like this. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We're really serious about this. It's not just something we're going through the motions about. This is something that matters. You will seek me, God says, and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And then the assurance comes in the following verse 10, that if we are genuinely seeking God, we shall find him for ourselves. He's going to be our personal God and a personal Savior with whom we have a personal and permanent relationship. But unless we know God in this way, unless we know God himself, all that follows this morning is not going to be effective. So the first and most important thing is to find God ourselves. Then, when we know God and we know him well, we will begin to be in tune with his thoughts and to begin to think his thoughts after him to find out what he wants. But even when we know God, we have to go on asking, seeking, and knocking. We don't just stop and think we've arrived because we're Christians. We've actually got to go on doing it all of the time. And the passage that was given us this morning helps us to understand how this can happen. In brief, and these are the points that we should be looking at, God wants us to listen, to pray, and to persevere. God wants us to listen, to pray, and to persevere. Those are the things that we'll be looking at from the passage that was read to us earlier. Let's read again. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 41, those four verses. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So then, move on to the next one, if we may. Listen. And again, it is easy to become distracted. It is easy to become distracted from listening to God by our circumstances. And I guess all of us know that. We're so worried about a particular thing that talking to God, seeking after God, listening for what God is saying to us really falls into the background. It may be financial worries. It may be relationship problems. It may be job insecurity or finding a job indeed. It may be our health. It may simply be anxiety over the state of the world. Our friend Arthur Oscroft, who is no longer able to worship with us, but when he was, I used to say, Arthur, he was a worrier, when he was with us, and he worried about all sorts of things, and the state of the world was one thing that caused him great concern. Now, we should be worried about the state of the world, but we should also remember that God is sovereign in the world he created, and we don't need to worry too much. But it's so easy to get distracted. On top of that, for Christians, sincere Christians have got extra things to distract them as well, just a bit like Martha. We can be distracted by the busyness that comes from Christian service. Martha was doing a great job. She was serving Jesus. Now, you can't have a better job than that, serving Jesus. That was great. But in the middle of all the serving of Jesus, then she took her eye off the ball, so to speak. She stopped looking at Jesus and listening to him. Christian meetings. Wide range of things that are needful to keep the church going. All of those things, the keener we are, the more we want to be involved. And the more we want to be involved, the more easily it is to become distracted. It's a strange way of working, but it happens to be true because it's happened in my life. I guess it's happened in your lives as well. And this is something which is so insidious. We don't even notice it's happening. And we're going to the meetings, and occasionally we have this great blessing and think, that's good. I'm doing all right now. But a lot of the time, we're just not listening. We're not seeking to find out what God wants. We're just churning our life over on a daily basis. So then, we're too busy to listen to God. How do we listen? It's all a how-to this morning. Firstly, we must be quiet and really want to listen. Now, that's a pretty obvious statement, but we must be quiet and really want to listen to God. I'm introducing something which used to be known as the Christian's daily quiet time, and it cannot be beaten. We need to be quiet. A Christian song may help us get in the right frame of mind to do that, but there is nothing that beats setting aside a time which is our time with God and God's time with us. I'll probably come back and emphasize that again because it's just an important thing to do. It's a discipline in the Christian life. It's not something we can get all pharisaical about and say, look, if I don't do this, then I can't do anything else. It's something which is a pleasure. If we want to know someone well, we want to meet them regularly. We listen to us as God speaks to us through his word, the Bible. Now, he can and he does speak to us in other ways, but most of all, I believe that he speaks to us through his word. How does he do this? All sorts of ways is the quick answer. Beware of just opening the Bible at random. What is God saying to me this morning? The story is told of the man who wanted to hear from God, and he did just that. Opened his Bible, and he pointed like that, and it turned up Matthew chapter 27, verse 5. And he read, "Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself." That was not precisely what he had in mind when he was looking for this, so he tried again. And this time, he came and found Luke 10 and 37, he read, Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Okay, so it's a daft story, but you take the point that I'm trying to make. It is far better than doing that. It is possible, of course, let's be fair. It is possible when we do open our Bibles, almost at random, that a voice will leap out to us, and it will be God's word for us from where we weren't looking. God can do that. But it's not something he does regularly, not something I would recommend as a way of doing it all the time. It's far better to read the Bible systematically, either reading a chapter a day, which is what I did before I became a Christian, wanting to find God. And I started at the New Testament, and I got midway through Luke's Gospel before I was converted, but nevertheless, I kept it up and read a chapter a day. But there are many Bible reading aids available which comment on a short passage to help our understanding. There are a whole range of books in the library there which is underused, and really they've got some great stuff in there which will help our understanding of what God is saying. So all of these things help us to meet with God. We've got to apply our minds to listen. And reading God's word regularly each day is better than just reading when we feel like it. And when we seek God in this way and seek to listen in this way, he promised to respond. Words from Isaiah. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, I have to say that I've never heard an actual voice. I don't know if anybody has. I know people who have, by the way. They've actually heard an audible voice, and usually it is behind them, to direct them in what they should do. I've never heard that. What happens with me, thoughts come into my head, which are not my own. Often it's when I'm asking God questions, I get an answer. And sometimes you don't want to hear the answer, but nevertheless, mostly you do. And God answers your sincere questions. But if we're just quiet, even when we're thinking of something else in God's word, God can bring a verse or words of a song or something like that into our minds, which is his word to us. And one final thought on this topic, which is the longest, you'll be happy to know, of the three. One final thought is that it is no use listening to God and hearing his voice if we don't then act on what he says to us. That's possibly as hard as hearing his voice in the first place. We've actually got to do what he says and not just listen. The second point that we made is the beginning of chapter 11, where the disciples came to Jesus and said, please, teach us to pray. John did it for his disciples. Will you please do it for us? And so he did. And the words you've got on the screen here are the amplified version of what was read to us earlier. And in particular, note the different colours and what they're interpreted as over to the right. The red section is all about worshipping God. And we start with that, which is why our services start with worship. If we don't get our relationship with God with right at the beginning of our worship, then our minds are just not able to enter into what follows. There's not an awful lot of asking God to provide for our needs. Have you noticed? The blue, one sentence there, give us today our daily bread. A much larger section, asking for protection from harm and forgiveness of our sins. And the reminder that we need to be prepared to forgive others if we're asking God to forgive us. And then it ends as it begins. Praise and worship, now and forever. Amen. So Jesus told them that particular ones. It's what we say very often in church. And it is a helpful, very helpful way of praying. I wonder how that actually compares with our prayers. If we don't actually pray the Lord's Prayer on a on a regular basis each day. We may do. But if we don't, and we do pray every day, I wonder how the Lord's Prayer compares with our prayers. One of the ways that we often say to people, to encourage young Christians to pray, is to use the acronym ACTS. And there we go, the ACTS. And we start off with adoration. Do you know, I think that God likes being told that I love him. I do. I think he does. And I think that he likes being told that you love him too. And it is good when we start our praying time to say that we love God. You'd like being told when somebody says, I love you. At least I think you do, unless you, it's a Valentine's Day and you didn't really want that. But most of the time, it is good to know that we're loved. And I believe that God loves indeed, to be told that we love him. We love him. We confess our sins. We've mentioned that already in the Lord's Prayer. It is good to confess our sins to God and to know the assurance that when we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just, he will forgive our sins, and better than that, he's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then only then we can give thanks for our salvation. It's ever so important to say, Lord, thank you for saving me. I'm your child now. It's great. And thank you. Don't ever get to the stage where you just take it for granted. Easy, as you've been a Christian as long as I have, to do exactly that. But to say each day, thank you, Lord, for saving even me. It's great. And only then can we start praying for ourselves, for our family, for others. When we do all of those things, then we are following a pattern of prayer, which I believe is faithful to the Lord's Prayer in essence, but perhaps bring it more home to us on a day-to-day basis. The main point here is not a formula. The main thing is that we pray and pray regularly and pray sincerely. Maybe at the same time each day set aside for our quiet time, but also at those times during the day when something crops up and we want to say, oh, thank you, Lord. I didn't think I could do that. Thank you for not helping me not to lose my temper. Or alternatively, sorry, Lord, I lost my temper then. But all the way we can have a conversation with God, and it is good to be able to do so, but it's no substitute for our regular time of prayer with God. Now, of course, God has the right, can and does, say no to our prayers if they're outside of his will for us. And we need to pray as Jesus did. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And it's very hard when we're so sure that we're praying something that is right, and then God seems to say, no, it isn't. And we've got to accept that. You see, I believe that God loves us too much to say yes to prayers that will harm us. And sometimes we've just got to accept that he does know better than we do. So then, he encourages us to listen and to pray. But then also, the final thing he says is persevere. Verses 5-8 of Luke 11. Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up to give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Jesus is encouraging us to persevere in our prayers and not giving up because we don't receive an instant answer or the answer that we want. We all know that we want prayers answered now. We wouldn't be praying them now if we wanted them answered them next week. But nevertheless, God accepts our prayer, but he also says, hang on a bit, it's not time, the time isn't right yet, and that means that we persevere in prayer. We need to remember that God's delays are not God's denials. We may be praying the right thing at the wrong time, and it's easy to do it. Now, the illustration that Jesus gave here is open to misinterpretation. So let's be clear what it actually does and doesn't mean. It does not mean that we have to pester a reluctant God who can't stir himself to answer our prayers. It doesn't mean that at all. It is rather saying that even if a sleepy human being can be roused to help his friend, how much more will our God who never sleeps rush to answer our prayer when the time is right? I think there's a phrase of much to more or much to greater or something, from the lesser to the greater. That's what it's about. How much more will God do it? If a human being can do that, and simply by being pestered, will go and do what's done. God doesn't need to be pestered. God will do it at the right time. And therefore, we need to understand that what he's saying here, God's better than any human being. Some prayers for the salvation of others are answered only after many years. I don't know if I've got a prayer list of people who I've been praying for years and haven't been converted yet. Sometimes only after the prayer has gone to heaven. We hear or read stories of faithful parents who've prayed for their children and their children are converted only after the parents have died. Doesn't invalidate their prayers all the way through their lives, does it? It means that God is active in the life of the individual that are being prayed for. God encourages us to keep on asking. That's the point about ask, seek, and knock. And then he assures us that the answer will come. We will receive the right answer. So then, I encourage you, and I encourage myself, to keep those names on your prayer list. Don't give up. Keep on praying for them. God knows when the time is right. So then, let us move on to our conclusion. And I've set it out there. Seeking to know God's will, from the point of view of the church, we need to understand, of course, that a church is made up of individuals, you and me. And so I've said a healthy church is one which is made up of those who earnestly seek God himself. Seek to listen to him, to pray regularly, and to persevere in their prayers. That's what we've been talking about this morning. As they as individuals do that, and the church as a whole will find out what God wants and will do it. We've all got to be, as it were, right with God and on God's wavelength. Then our church meetings are going to reach the right sort of decisions. Anything that's contentious is going to be dealt with in a way which is loving and kind, and we don't have a problem in that regard either. All of these things mean that we are going to be seeking and finding and doing God's will. We're going to sing our final song in a minute or two. You are going to finish early. We are going to sing our final song. And can I just read out to you the last verse of it? Master, speak and make me ready.